Welcome students, today we are going to study chapter 2, some concepts of economics relevant for business. The objective of this chapter is to introduce to the students who are first time learners of the subject of economics. The second objective is to bring down the gap that exists between economic concepts and real business practice. You will be just understanding the meanings of various terms that are relevant in economics but have their applications in the business world. We keep reading in the newspapers about various current affairs with respect to business. New investments taking place, companies having certain issues with respect to which there are various decisions taken by the managers. To give you a very recent example of the Maruti plant, where the workers had gone on a strike, and due to the ongoing problems in the plant, there has been a mishap of an HR executive who was actually attacked by the workers, and due to which it led to the loss of life of the executive. And then the papers always kept on dealing with what should be the way workers' problems be handled by the managers. Is providing technical training to the workers enough, or should there be skill development also taking place simultaneously? There was another article which was discussing about the problems arising in the aviation sector with Air India pilots going for a strike, and then due to that there was a new policy which the director of aviation sector had come up with, and there was a title given end of monopoly. Does it mean that there is an end of monopoly of Air India? Because now Jet Airways, Go Air and SpiceJet are allowed to increase their international flights with clearance given for various international routes, especially to Dubai. Well, when we read these issues, it definitely makes us think on what these concepts are. So this chapter is designed keeping the objective of introducing you to various concepts of economics which are relevant for business. So let's begin with the very first concept of this chapter, that is human wants. Well, as you see, human wants is the starting point of all economic activities. What we mean, if there are no wants, there will be no companies, no businesses, no producer class taking place. What is human want? Economics says it is lack of satisfaction, which means whenever an individual, you, me, anyone, finds himself or herself in a state of discomfort, a desire emerges, and that is a want. So want is purely a state of discomfort. Now wants can be categorized into three groups: necessities, comforts, luxuries. I want to make it clear that what is a necessity for one person need not be a necessity for the other. Okay, let's put it in this way. Eating a particular type of food for a patient will be a necessity. A patient who is sick needs to eat a particular type of diet that is prescribed by the doctors. Now that is a necessity. But that same type of food is not a necessity for a normal, a healthy person. For a healthy person, another diet will be a necessity. So necessity, comfort and luxury are a subjective concept and it differs from person to person. The fundamental aspect here is to decide any product or any service as a necessity, a comfort and a luxury requires two parameters. One, the price of the product. What is the price that you pay for a ordinary medicine from a nearby chemist? And what is the price you are going to pay for a specialized medicine from a specialized doctor? It differs. Comfort and luxury are purely dependent on the purchasing power of a person, income, and second, the price that you have to pay for acquiring that service or that product. From here, we will move ahead to the next concept that human wants are never ending. Human wants are unlimited, human wants are recurring in nature, and human wants cannot be satisfied fully, which means that all our wants will not be satisfied altogether. Now why? Let's go ahead to the next slide. Human wants are never ending and they are unlimited. But all human wants cannot be satisfied at all the time because of resources. Lionel Robbins is a very famous name whenever we discuss about wants and resources. He has come to certain conclusions with respect to the nature of human wants. First, wants are unlimited and means or resources available to satisfy them are limited. This is where the problem begins. We have too many wants and too few resources. I have too many desires but very less money. So, I cannot fulfill all my desires. So, wants are unlimited, resources are scarce. Are the two main problems. Whenever you come across an imbalance between ever increasing wants, limited resources, economic problem arises. What is economic problem? Decision making problem. I have too less time and too many tasks. So what do I do? I cannot complete all the tasks in the minimum time. And that is where I think, oh God, I wish I had more time so that at the end of the day, I could finish all my tasks. Therefore, decision-making problem is closely connected with economic problem. A business manager definitely faces various certain problems of decision-making. Either the workers are less and the resources being less, the work is more. So this brings us to the decision-making problem. Whenever the problems arise, we learn how to grade our wants. So we prioritize our wants. Like I said, you have too less time and too many tasks. So what you will do? You will pick up the task which is the most urgent and the most important first. Allocate your time for fulfilling what is the most important and most urgent want. Complete it, then go to the next. Precisely, that's what Lionel Robbins is discussing about. And therefore, he said that the very first thing to be kept in mind is wants are unlimited, resources available are scarce, resources have alternative uses. Therefore, wants have to be prioritized. This is a fundamental problem faced by an individual, a society, at a national level and at international level. I gave you the example of individual, too many tasks, too less time. Now let's look at social level. Social level, a basic example is parking space. Everybody has their own four-wheeler and two-wheeler. But what about the parking space? So we are limited with the parking space with too many vehicles. So that brings us again to our decision-making an economic problem of scarce resource, unlimited wants. National level, India. We all have been reading, those who are especially from a commerce field, population, too many wants and very little resource. Whenever the planning commission prepares the budget, the first problem is how to fulfill the wants of millions of people with the limited budget that is there with the planning commission. Again, it's a economic problem, a decision making problem. And at international level, the problem is of fast depleting natural resource, especially minerals and crude oil. The countries which are exporting oil are few, and the countries which are importing oil are many. Again, bringing us to a global level problem of scarcity of natural resource. So students, the basic beginning of economics is dealing with resources and wants and how to make optimum use of these resources. Let's begin with the next concept after human wants, and that is utility. Utility is capacity of a good to satisfy a human want. Anything which is having the capacity to satisfy the need of a human is supposed to have utility. For example, I'm thirsty and a glass of water is quenching my thirst. So I say that this glass of water is having utility. As a consumer, we all go to the malls, we all go to the stores to buy the things which has the utility. Yes, which means it gives us the satisfaction. It is having the capacity to fulfill our want. Utility concept is derived by an economist called Alfred Marshall. Marshall has divided utility into two groups: total utility, marginal utility. Total utility, he means, can be understood by calculating all that is consumed by the consumer in a given time. Imagine you have two glasses of water, one after the other. So after having those two glasses of water, your thirst is quenched. And we say the total utility derived after consuming the two glasses of water is possessed to have a given total utility. In other words, total satisfaction is called as total utility. The next is marginal utility. The marginal utility, the most important term here is addition. Addition to total utility from consumption of additional unit of a commodity. You are listening to this lecture. As we move on from one slide to the other slide, the second slide is introducing you to another concept, and your understanding and clarity of the subject is increasing. So the knowledge that you get from the next slide is possessed to have additional utility. So additional utility is with every additional intake of a commodity, the additional satisfaction that you derive is said to be marginal utility. Marginal utility is a very small increase in your total satisfaction. So by every second, how much your satisfaction level is increasing is called as marginal utility. To understand that, there are certain formulas which are given by Alfred Marshall. Let's move on to the next slide. Utility, as we discussed, is the way in which a want can be satisfied. In fact, it is the capacity of any good to satisfy the want. But Alfred Marshall has said that utility is a mathematical concept. For that, he has introduced these two formulas. Let us understand, students, how utility is calculated in a mathematical way. Alfred Marshall has given various formulas for calculating total utility and marginal utility. Now let us look at this utility schedule. The first column indicates units of commodity. Let's say any commodity X, let's say a glass of water. So we have 1 to 6. That means the first assumption an individual consumer is consuming 6 glasses of water. So we have numbered it as 1 to 6. The second column will be the column indicating total utility. The total utility is total satisfaction derived after the consumption of all units of a commodity. For example, when the consumer is consuming the first unit, the total satisfaction derived is 8. Now you will wonder, how did I write 8? 8 is any normal natural number which has to be written assuming for the first unit of commodity consumed. You can write any number as per your convenience. The concept here is that as the units go on increasing, the total utility will also increase. So the numbering has to be in the ascending order. However, the difference between the ascending numbers should keep on decreasing. Just because every additional unit consumed by the consumer will give him less and less satisfaction. To understand that increase in the consumption of commodity decreases the satisfaction, we take you to marginal utility. Now, how do we calculate marginal utility? Marginal utility is merely the difference in total utility. So, when the consumer consumes the first unit, his total satisfaction is 8 utils. Therefore, marginal utility is also 8 utils. When he consumes the second glass of water or the second unit of commodity, his total satisfaction increases to 14. You can see from 8, the total increase is by 6 units. Now, the 6 utils of satisfaction is the marginal utility. As you have learnt in the previous slide, marginal utility is additional unit giving additional satisfaction. So, when the consumer consumes the second unit of commodity, his total satisfaction increases from 8 to 14. Therefore, the additional second unit gave him a total satisfaction of 14. That means from 8 plus 6. So, 6 is the additional util of satisfaction from the second glass of water or second unit of commodity, making the total utility to 14. So, going back to our theoretical concept, therefore, what is total utility? Total satisfaction from total consumption of all units. Which means, if the consumer has consumed 6 units of a commodity, his total satisfaction is 18. But when I want to know how much is the satisfaction from the 6th, only the 6th unit, I will try to minus 18 minus 20. We should never minus 20 minus 18 saying 20 is greater, 18 is less. Because our formula is marginal utility of n, n unit is number of units, is equal to total utility of n. Suppose if n is 6, so marginal utility of the 6th unit is equal to total utility of the 6th unit, which is 18, minus the total utility of the previous, which is n minus 1, that is 20, total utility of the 5th. So that gives me the answer minus 2. Minus is a danger signal. Minus indicates discomfort. It indicates that it is much more than the capacity of a person to satisfy, that his want is fully satisfied. So this additional unit was actually not required. So sometimes it happens that we keep looking for resources, we keep buying too many things. Example, people going for a party, filling too much in the plate to eat, but a point comes where they feel it's too much, they don't need to eat so much. So lot of food which is a leftover goes into the dustbin. So is it negative marginal utility? Yes. So this brings us to the concept of total utility and marginal utility. Well, we have just seen how mathematically total and marginal utility can be calculated. Taking you back to the formula, total utility is marginal utility of the first, second, third, fourth, and so on, which gives me the total utility. As you remember, students, we just now had taken an example, 6 units of a commodity. So marginal utility of the first, marginal utility of the second. So 8 plus 6 gives me 14. That means total utility of 2 units is equal to 14. 8 plus 6. So this is what we say. Therefore, total utility is summation. It is the summation of marginal utilities. Like for example, if you are going and watching a movie. When you see the movie, if it's a 3-hour movie, the first hour, whatever, how would you rate the movie? So let's say that you are given a task of rating the movie. And we give you 3 different categories. First hour, second hour, third hour. And then you have to say, in the first hour, the satisfaction derived. That will be marginal utility. Plus second hour, the satisfaction derived. Plus the third hour. So keeping this 1 plus 1 plus 1, 3. 3 hours, total satisfaction will be your total utility derived from watching the movie. Marginal utility formula. Marginal utility is nothing but difference of total utility. It is just correlated. Difference of total utility is equal to marginal utility, or addition of marginal utility is total utility. Now we go on to the next concept after utility, which is demand. Demand is desire, ability, willingness. The shortcut is DAW factor. A consumer who has the DAW factor is our potential consumer, which means the consumer has the desire, he has the ability as well as the willingness. We take a simple example of a cobbler who is working on the streets mending shoes. He has the desire, but he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have so much of money. For what? Let's say he wishes or he has a desire to go and have lunch at Taj. It's not possible for him to be a potential consumer in a 5-star hotel. Because even if he has a desire, he doesn't have the ability. Let's take an example of a miser. A miser is a person who loves money more than the material things. So he's always looking for sabse sasta kahan milega. So that he doesn't have to part with lot of liquidity cash. When we talk of willingness, many a times we are not ready to buy a product because we may have ability, we may have desire, but we are not willing. We feel the price of the product is too high than the utility of the product. So I want to make it very clear that willingness is comparing the utility of the product with the price. So in demand analysis, the whole approach would be to focus on potential consumers. Let's go to the next concept after demand. Supply. When we talk of supply, once we understand demand, now Alfred Marshall has said that demand and supply are like two blades of a scissor. The scissor cannot operate if one blade is missing. Same is the case of market. Instead of a scissor, we put a market. A market is controlled by two main forces. Demand as one force and supply on the other end. Whenever there is a demand, there has to be an adequate supply to see that the market is in balance and it is operating in equilibrium. Now, what is this supply? Supply, like demand, is nothing but ability of the sellers to release the stock in the market. In economics, when we talk of supply, we say it is the various amounts of commodity which the sellers are willing to sell. And the most important variable here is at the various prices. From this, we can take the example of the farmers' community. Farmers are always looking at the market price. Many a time, the market prices keep fluctuating. And that makes the sellers come in a loss. Because if the cost of production is higher than the market supply and the market price, then they are not able to get enough of profit. So whenever we talk about the market supply, it is purely controlled by the price in the market and the ability of the sellers. So that takes us to another concept which comes much before supply, and that is production. It is not possible to supply a product in the market if production is not taking place. Taking you back to the same example of Maruti plant, Manesar. You remember that there were n number of days the workers had gone on strike. And especially after the death of the HR executive, there is a total shutdown of work. Definitely, there is going to be a total stop in the entire production. The total output has come down. That's because of a temporary shutdown of the plant. So what is this production? Production is adding of all the various inputs to create the necessary utilities. In economics, we just don't get satisfied by saying that production matlab raw material convert to finished goods. It's not just transforming inputs to output. Economists go one step ahead. They say that production is creation of utilities. They always believe that anything which has form, place and time utility means it is a part of production. I'll give you a very simple example. As consumers, why are we ready to part with more liquidity cash for the material things that we see in various stores? I want to buy a beautiful piece of furniture for my house. So I go to a store and I look around for the best of the furniture. And I look at the price tag, because every material good that you find in the stores today has a price tag. Nothing is free, right? That's because companies are investing their resources. There is a cost involved in production, and therefore there has to be a price, a money value attached to the product. Whenever the products are manufactured, there is a change of utility taking place. If I want a beautiful piece of furniture, I have to part with liquidity cash. That is price. The wood which is converted into a beautiful furniture definitely adds form utility. So what is form utility? It is only transforming a raw material into a required utility product for the customer, which brings form utility. Place of production, place of distribution, place of manufacturing are all three different things. So whenever products are transported from one place to the other, that is from the place of production to the place of market, place utility gets added. And what next? Time utility. We always want the products at the time when we demand it. Time also is connected with climatic changes. Umbrellas have more utility during monsoon than in other season. Similarly, there are n number of products which are called as seasonal products. As the season changes, the demand for it emerges, and companies start utilizing resources for manufacturing those products so that at the time, proper time and at the right time, the products are being distributed. So production is nothing but keeping on adding utilities to any given raw material or any given resource. From production, we have to connect us with the inputs. Economists say that there are four main factors of production: land, labor, capital, organization. Production is impossible if any of these factors is missing. We call them as agents of production, essential factors of production. You cannot have production without any of these. So, in production concept, be very clear that there are four main factors: land, labor, capital, organization. Only then production is successful. From production, we move on to the next linking concept, distribution. From the place of production to the final customer, there is a chain of distribution. We call it as channel of distribution. Distribution is nothing but selling of the products. Every company which is utilizing its resources for production is doing it with the intention and with the objective that the products should reach the final customer. How are they going to reach the final customer? That takes us to the concept of distribution. In economics, when economists are talking of the term distribution, they are purely talking it from a macro point of view. They are saying distribution is sharing of wealth produced in the community. I am sure you are all aware of the term national income, GDP. GDP is what? Total money value of all goods and services that are produced in a country in a given year. Every year production is taking place. I mean, not even every year, every moment production is taking place. But how does at macro level it gets calculated? How does it get into record? Through a method, a mathematical formula, which is called as gross national product. Adding to that, there are n number of concepts, and then we finally get national income of a country. National income is a very important indicator to understand how your economy is growing. In fact, if the national income is increasing, it is a clear indication that the country is progressing. Time to time, we keep reading in newspapers and we keep looking at data of national income of different countries. And from there, we come to a conclusion. India is developing. USA has reached development. China is fastly moving towards growth and development. Today, if India's economic growth is around 7 to 8%, and we compare it with China, which has already crossed a double-digit economic growth, that really gives us an idea that China is growing much faster than India, even though it is a overpopulated country. So, in economics, whenever economists are interested in distribution topics, they are purely talking of distribution of national income. When a student is studying about distribution of national income, the student has to remember the production concept. As I said, there are four factors of production: land, labor, capital, organization. Similarly, the land is not free, so land gets rent. Rent becomes the distribution of national income to land. So rent is a type of reward which goes to land. Labor, they get wages, capital, interest, and organization, profit. So rent, wages, interest, profit is distribution. Land, labor, capital, organization is connected with production. We move on now to the next concept of economics, which is relevant to business. That's again taking further distribution. Here, when we talk about distribution, we are purely talking about, as we discussed, the national income distribution.